Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome to Montana Talks. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron Flint. Aaron Flint's going to be back with you at 8 o'clock this morning from Great Falls, live from Great Falls, doing a remote up there. You guys remember the number to call in here is 406-294-0970. In our first hour, we started off with a topic, and we're going to talk about this again now. Because this has to get stopped. Montana, we have a problem. We have House Republicans in the Montana legislature passing a bill to give illegal aliens driving permits. Again, like I said in the previous hour, right now, your president, President Trump, who was elected in a landslide, has declared a national emergency on the southern border and also the invasion of 20 million illegal alien criminals into this country. What do we have going on in the Montana legislature? We have Republicans, 10 of them, siding with Democrats to pass a bill to give them driver permits into the state of Montana. I'm going to say their names again. They are Brad Barker, David Beatty, John Fitzpatrick, Steve Gist or Gist or whatever, G-I-S-T, Russ Miner, Valerie Moore, George Nikolakakos, Melissa Nikolakakos, Linda Rexton, Tracy Sharp. Folks, we cannot have this. These driver permits are their legitimacy, their foot in the door into your society, into your culture. And we had people calling in yesterday to the show that had lived and worked in California. And they'll tell you straight out that this is their foot in the door to vote. They saw this very same thing happen in California years ago, and they were, next thing you know, they were registering to vote and voting. This cannot happen here, folks. We cannot have the will of the Montana people that voted in a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Republican governor. We cannot be giving away driving permits, state IDs to illegal aliens. That also draws them to your community because it goes out all over the country. Hey, Montana's a state that'll give you a state ID. We're not going to tolerate this, folks. We ain't going to have it. All right. There is the music right now. And we'll be back right after this to talk more about it. And I see on line one, we have Niz. Niz, we will get to you here in just a second. Be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay in the mid-upper 60s across areas towards Bozeman, mid-70s for the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lower 40s for most areas, and then the outlook for Thursday calls for a mix of clouds and sun. Highs range from the upper 60s in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
This is House Call for Health. What we eat gets a lot of attention, but what about how fast we eat? One health expert says devouring a meal in 20 minutes or less is too fast and may lead to some health issues. Leslie Heinberg, a scientist at the Center for Behavioral Health at the Cleveland Clinic, says it takes 20 minutes for the stomach to tell the brain it's full. She says when a person eats quickly, it may miss the signs and overeat. Heinberg adds that people who eat fast may swallow more air, resulting in bloating or indigestion. She also says not chewing food properly can decrease the amount of nutrients you get from a meal. To slow down eating, Heinberg suggests people should avoid watching TV or browsing on their phone during meals. Other tips to slow down your eating pace include using your non-dominant hand to eat, using utensils you don't normally use, like chopsticks, and taking deliberate breaks to drink some water. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is John Jackson. We are back. And as promised, we have on line one, Niz. Niz, she wants to talk about the Montana Republicans. What do you got for us, Niz?
Hi, John. With all due respect to your previous guest who said he hopes the bill doesn't pass, hope is not a method. You need action. And I picked one random name from the list of those Montana Republicans who are voting to give illegals driving privileges. I entered this person's name into Data Republicans. That's her X account, her database. She has a tracker for NGOs. And within a second, a Montana organization that one of these Republicans is associated with, that organization receives approximately $5 million per year, and that directly comes from the Tides Foundation. This is a George Soros-funded organization. So I recommend to all of your Montana listeners, visit Data Republican on X, learn how to use that website, because when you start typing in the name of these politicians, it will answer why some of these Republicans are voting the way they do. But keep in mind, there are illegals who were smuggled into America through an ISIS-affiliated network. These are special interest aliens. And if they hear that they can get driving privileges in Montana, they'll be there in a heartbeat.
Niz, you said, who is this person, first of all? What's their name, and what's the nature of that association?
It is the Montana Home Ownership Association, and the name of the politician in Montana is George. He's got a Greek last name, Papadakoulos.
Nikolakoulos?
Yes, he is the director of that. Now, it shows that he earns no compensation through this organization, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But they are affiliated with the Tides Foundation. And if you start typing in these politicians' names, you will see clearly what organizations they are connected with and who funds indirectly or directly those organizations. Very, very interesting. And most of them are left-wing outlets.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned this guy. I do not know these two. It's a husband and wife team, Melissa George and Melissa Nikolakoulos. But I know that Kat, our friend Kat out there on X, who calls in the show all the time, she has a special place in her heart, and I'm being sarcastic about those two. She's been on a jihad against those people for a while, so it does not surprise me that you found that. Thank you very much for the call, Niz. That's excellent research. And who Niz is talking about there is Data Republican. She is an amazing resource out there on X, on Twitter, because she is one of these people that just invents these research tools that you can get out there and put a name into her tool, and it'll search all of these databases for these people and find out their connections to different monies, different foundations, different people. It's amazing stuff. Let's see, who do we have next? We have on line four, we have my man Z from Michigan. What's up, my brother?
Good morning, brother. Say, as a joke, I was going to ask if Aaron was ever worried that you were going to come on and do a Good Morning Vietnam, and instead you do an Allah Akbar with the, over these licenses. I was going to say, though, that this is related directly to what Doge is doing, discovering with the Social Security numbers that, okay, you hear the excuses, well, you know, it's fine that they're in there, but, you know, they're marked as, you know, they're marked as non-usable, so it's okay. And then we know that, well, all these NGOs, they have headcount based on a Social Security number. These systems just ping back, does a Social Security number exist? Yep. Doesn't tell you a status, doesn't give you a last name, first name. So you guys got to be vigilant in Montana. Please, Montana, don't turn into Michigan. Because we had the same thing here with our Republicans years back when they said, well, look, we can run state-sponsored, tax-sponsored NGO-type stuff better than the Democrats. So come on in, green energy. The Republicans will run that. Forget that. That will really screw you guys over. So please keep up the fight. Excellent show today, brother. We'll talk to you.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Z. Yeah, and like I said in the previous hour, they think they're being cute. Now, it's the Democrats and also these 10 Republicans that voted for this bill. They think they're being cute because they put in the bill that you must have legal status in the United States. But then, of course, they add in what that legal status is, and that's being an asylum seeker and have temporary protected status yet and several other ones. But like I said in the previous hour, who do you think all of these illegals in the United States are? That's the loophole, and that's the gigantic, massive, gaping loophole in U.S. law, U.S. immigration law, that allowed the Biden regime to let all these people in here. And they're all of them coached before they even get to the border what to say. Oh, I'm persecuted in my country for this, that, and the other thing. I fear for my life in my country for this, that, and the other thing. Okay, come on in. Now, you're automatically, we bless you, son. You're an asylum seeker. And then how many people did Joe Biden just grant temporary protected status to? Like 300,000 people? All of them that are here are under those things, okay? And like we said as well, even with President Trump's everything he's got in his push to get rid of these people, there's 20 million of them. It's going to take years. I mean, he might not even get it done in his first 4 years. So what your Montana Republicans, along with the Democrats, want to do is just legitimize these people. Give them Montana ID. I mean, guys, this cannot happen. It will not happen. And we are going to pressure our elected representatives to make sure it stops. There is the music, and we will be right back after this break with, I see Steve on the line. We'll get you in a minute, Steve.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem of how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's safe to say that President Trump and Elon Musk are not big fans of the New York Times, Musk calling the paper pure propaganda. The president is saying it's a disgraceful purveyor of fake news and it's garbage. All this having to do with a story that caused a media uproar in which the Times said that Musk was going to the Pentagon to receive a briefing that would include potential war plans involving China, and that this would be a major conflict of interest for a guy who has business interests in China, as well as many billions of dollars worth of federal contracts with our government. Now, the Times cited four different sources, and the Wall Street Journal later confirmed the report. And maybe that's why they suddenly backed off, saying, oh, no, no, it was never going to be about China. But the backlash from the administration is pretty strong. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
What you need to know if you sold a home in 2024. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
If you sold your home last year, you might be eligible for a tax break known as the 121 rule. To be eligible to exclude up to $250,000 from the capital gain of that sale, you must have lived in the home as a primary residence for at least two of the last 5 years. If you were married, that doubles to $500,000. Capital gains taxes on a home owned for five or more years are about 20%. Those owned for less than 2 years is closer to 37%. It's important to note that even if you sold more than one home, that money can only be deducted every 2 years. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, Representative Randon Gregg of White Sulphur Springs introduced House Bill 860, the Rural Montana Veterinary Workforce Act, to combat the state's veterinarian shortage, especially in rural areas. Beginning in the 2025-2026 academic year, the bill would offer up to $100,000 in loan repayment to four veterinary students who commit to practicing for 4 years in underserved Montana communities if passed. Preference will be given to Montana residents in accredited programs. The bill also establishes a seven-member advisory committee and will be overseen by the Commissioner of Higher Education. A recent study found that 38 of Montana's 56 counties face a vet shortage. With a new veterinarian school coming to Montana, the bill aims to ensure graduates have incentives to stay and serve where they're most needed. In other news, the U.S. Trade Representative's office launched an investigation into China's efforts to dominate the maritime, logistics, and shipbuilding sectors. After an investigation, the USTR released proposed actions, including assessing fees up to $1.5 million on ships arriving at U.S. ports if the ships are Chinese-built, operated, or flagged. A comment period is open for the proposal, and farmers say imposing fees will only increase costs for U.S. farmers importing inputs like seed and fertilizer and getting crops to market overseas. Again, the comment period for the proposal is open. I'm Lane Northmond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. I see over there on our busy phone lines we have Steve. Steve from Ballantyne. What you got there, Steve?
Morning, John. Well, you know, first off, the Democrat Party, including, you know, Biden, basically, they can't even abide by what the Supreme Court rules, especially like on the tuition thing, you know. So they don't even listen to the Supreme Court. But the back to the asylum seekers, okay, you know, Mexico would be our problem. But anything else past Mexico, they're supposed to, when they seek asylum, according to the Constitution, they're supposed to say through the first country of origin that they pass through. They don't even abide by that. You know, they just let anyone come in. They fly them in over, what, 30 countries when they fly them in, you know? And that's what we're faced up against. I mean, and then we got all these rogue Republicans. Oh, it's a joke. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good stuff. Yeah, we've talked about this a bunch on Aaron's show. You could just take COVID and the illegal alien invasion. What the left and the Democrats did to this country in just those two things are high treason. And everybody involved with them needs to be investigated to the fullest extent of the law and prosecuted whenever possible, absolutely excoriated and blackballed out of any decent society. Just those two things. The most heinous things that has been done to the United States of America in any of our lifetimes by its own government. And right here in Montana, we're just not going, we're not prepared to tolerate that. We're not going to do it. And for far too long here in Montana, Baron and I have been talking about this for years. This group of rhinos that's in our legislature, in the House, in the Senate, are allowed to just glide right along and betray their party, betray their friends, betray their voters, and no one ever calls them out. No one ever puts their feet to the fire. No one ever gets a legitimate primary up against them and gets them out. All right? That's got to get done because you see the result of not doing it. And I know the excuse. I've heard it all, okay? I've heard it all. I've got scars on my soul, like they say. I know all the excuses. Oh, if we don't let them in, gosh, maybe a Democrat might win that district. Oh, you know, we just have to have a big tent, you know. And they vote with us 80% of the time, you know, so let's just you know, live and let live. Well, see, that 80% thing has some merit sometimes, but when the 20% they vote against us on are every single one of the big issues, okay, like the budgets, okay, the money, and illegals, the very biggest things facing us, then what good are they? We have to get them out. All right. And I will say one more time for everybody in the back. Brad Barker, David Beatty, John Fitzpatrick, Stephen Gist, Russ Miner, Valerie Moore, George and Melissa Nikolakokos, Linda Rexton, and Tracy Sharp. If you are one of their constituents out there, if you are in their districts, you need to know what these people are voting for. And just like Kat pointed out in a earlier call this morning, there's five of those people that also voted against a law because there was a bill up, I believe it's 536, if Kat told me right, that would have prohibited illegal aliens from working here in Montana. That was voted down by five of those very Republicans I just named. This cannot continue, folks. Get on the line, get on the phone, get on emails, start calling these people and telling them you're not going to put up with it anymore and you're going to vote for their primary opponent in the next election. So on to some other news for right now. And you guys make sure and call in. Remember, 406-294-0970. Yesterday was a big day for news, for national news. And President Trump went on a tear yesterday. One of the things he did that we've been waiting on ever since he took office was he declared the immediate declassification of all FBI files on Crossfire Hurricane. And you guys know what Crossfire Hurricane is, the Russia hoax. And there's the music. We're coming up to the break. We'll get into more of this when we get back because it's a very interesting subject. And if we ever see the true records on this, it's going to burn down everybody, including Obama. Well, we will see you back here in a minute on Montana Talks. Quick one. That was a quick one. And here we are right back. It's just a minute for that Fox News break. And you heard them right there in the Fox News break talk about what we just talked about. And that's the declassification of the files on Crossfire Hurricane. And that's the case that got started back in 2015, 2016, under the Obama regime, to go after their political opponent, that means Donald Trump, and it was done through Hillary Clinton and a bunch of shadowy people out there in the private sector. Obama got a hold of it, and here's what a lot of people don't talk about. Obama authorized all of this stuff. Now, whether any of this is in these FBI files, it might not be. It might be in national security files that we're never, ever going to see. But see, the reason you didn't see a whole lot of FBI people get jammed up behind that, and you won't see it, is because this was all authorized. They were authorized to do it. But I'll give you just one piece of it that shows you how absolutely dirty this was. They planted evidence on President Trump in at least two places that I know of. First of all, they were leaking their phony dossier crap into the media and then reached out and plucked those media reports that they themselves put there and used that as part of the probable cause in their affidavits to the FISA court to spy on President Trump. Then they had their sneaky little partners in foreign intelligence services intentionally sidle up to members of President Trump's campaign, way lower members, but still Trump adjacent, shall we say, and get them to say one thing, or they themselves open up the conversation about this thing and have that guy respond in the affirmative in any way, and then also say, oh, there it is, he's connected, and boom, they use that as part of their probable cause. It was the equivalent of police officers pulling you over, opening up your trunk, throwing a kilo of cocaine back there in the back of your trunk, and then saying, oh, look at that, Mr. Jones, we just found a kilo of cocaine in the back of your car. You're going to have to go to jail. That's what they were trying to do. That's what they did to President Trump, just to get that all ginned up. And they used the FISA court to do it. That incredible power that we gave the federal government because we wanted to have the ability to look at, investigate, wiretap these shadowy overseas figures, but keep it in a court where we keep it secret, but also be able to use the evidence if we needed to. They use that awesome power to go after their political opponents. And I want to see it all outed. I want to see everybody in there, every single agent that signed a report. I want to see them outed. Well, there is the news. We will be right back here in a second. Y'all call in 406-294-0970. Be right back.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. This is John Jackson. We were talking about before the break the declassification of all the FBI files on Crossfire Hurricane. That brings us into also the topic of the Epstein files on us. You know, the joke that everybody has seen for the longest time is if and when we ever, as the public, get to see a lot of these files, because we saw the JFK files got released here just a week ago. And what everybody laughs about is the outrageous, over-the-top redacting. And hopefully you won't see a lot of that in these files. Now, I do understand the need for it because I had to do this myself when we turned over files to, like, say, federal prosecutors and to the defense in a trial. We would have to do those redactions. But the only thing you're allowed to redact in there would be, say, your agency codes, the codes you put on the top of the report, the case numbers, and so just a lot of the coding that's internal crap. That's the only thing that you redact. Everything in the body of that report that's being used to prosecute somebody has to be made available. And that should be the order going forward, because here's the thing. They have been declassified. So therefore, you have whoever takes that big black marker to those redactions should not be allowed to do that because it's declassified now. So you know, there's nothing left to classify, to black out. I think that's what gets a lot of people. It seems like just a cover-up. And they're right, that's what it is. Let's see. Here we got Tim. I think we got Tim in Billings on line one. What do you have this morning for us, sir?
Pardon?
What do you got for us, sir?
Oh, heck. Who am I speaking with?
This is John Jackson. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, so this morning on the local news here in Billings, they had a thing on the Crow Tribe, how DEI has erased all their history. And it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, but nothing they say or do does.
That DEI has erased their history?
Yeah.
Huh. They didn't say give examples?
Well, they, I think it was like medicine, chief medicine, whatever. You know, I just was like, I was just shocked that they would, you know, think that, or how that would even happen. So I was just hoping maybe you guys could research it and then, you know, another day talk about it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Tim. Yeah, that this DEI stuff is a cancer, and it goes against every defining principle of our society. What do we as Americans value? We value hard work and merit. Okay. You get where you get in our society through your blood, sweat, and tears. Through your merit, through nothing else. What did Martin Luther King say years ago? The content of your character is how you rise. That's what makes the United States of America so unique. That is the goal. And really, since the 1980s, has been plain right out there. Since the 80s, anyone with enough gut and grit and determination can rise through our society to succeed. You've seen these. I saw it when I was down in Florida. You see these Cuban immigrants, first generation, come over down there in Florida, and they're millionaires. They're millionaires, you know, from what? From lawn servicing, from landscaping. They come over, they got one lawnmower, and in 5 or 10 years, now they've got five different trucks, five different crews working for them that go all over the place, and they're millionaires. That's what we're built on. We're not built on, and it's actually against the law, to discriminate against anyone based on race, color, sex, creed, yada, 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 yada. You've been seeing that in your workplaces your whole life, right? Any lunchroom you go into, any break room has got that up, you know, tacked up on the board, right? But see, this DEI stuff proposes you just throw that out the window and act like there's no federal law against that. And now they're just going to promote anybody they see fit, regardless of their qualifications, their work, anything. And thank goodness President Trump is and his people are on the warpath about all of that and wiping it from everywhere they can wipe it from. Yet President Trump was on the warpath yesterday with a whole bunch of news. Like I said about Crossfire Hurricane, he also wants to defund the NPR, National Public Radio. That's yet another thing that conservatives have been talking about forever. You know, maybe 25, 30 years, and nobody ever does it. Finally, one time, do it. Of course, they're going to sue. They're going to sue, and they're going to take it to one of their hack liberal activist, you know, clowns wearing robes, and you know, probably come after them. So what? Do it anyway. He's also talking about, this is very interesting, signing an executive order to ban sanctuary cities. And that a sanctuary city pretty much means a couple of things. It means that they're prohibiting their law enforcement from cooperating with the federal government with immigration in any way. That also, the big thing that you've heard about regarding that is the immigration detainers, where these jails won't honor the immigration detainers. And so everybody knows that's just a really simple thing. If a local jail has got a guy already in there under arrest, and ICE or immigration hears that he's in there, and they know he's illegal, all they do is file this piece of paperwork with the jail that says, hey, when y'all are done with him, if he's going to get kicked loose, call us, and we'll be there, and we'll pick him up. They're not asking these local jails to hold them for any kind of illegal detention, nothing. Because to get some, when somebody's finally released from jail, it'll take, God, it'll take 30 minutes, an hour, it could take hours for them to get processed out. And during that time, you just make the call to ICE, and they're ready for the guy, and they're going to pick him up. It's real, real simple. And you've seen across the country, you know, Boston and Dallas and these other cities that have allowed heinous murderers and rapists out of their jails when they know ICE had a detainer on them. And these people have many times gone out immediately to commit other crimes before ICE can track them down and grab them. So President Trump is going to take a crack at this, probably, to end sanctuary cities. And the punishment for these people might be the withdrawal, the cutting of any kind of federal funds to their cities behind this. I hope he does that, because that's the way you pinch these people always, is through the money. They talk all this big trash. As you've seen for the last 2 months, you've seen it, local state governments here, you've seen foreign governments talk a big game right until they get pinched in the wallet. And then they're like, backstroke. Yeah, maybe we can do a deal with President Trump. Oh, sorry about that. Big misunderstanding, big malentendido. Lo siento. But that's the way to do it. And we're gonna stand by for that from President Trump on that. Also coming out of RFK Jr., head of HHS, he is now cutting $11 billion of funding to the CDC. And apparently this is funding that they were still getting regarding COVID. And RFK Jr. said, you know, plain and simple, the really, really simple fact that COVID is over. And why are you people still sucking $11 billion out of the federal taxpayers for this thing that doesn't even exist anymore? It's not even a thing. That's what we've all got to get our hands around. And that's what Elon and Doge are doing right now, is getting a hold of the massive, to the tune of trillions of dollars, of waste, fraud, and abuse. And then all of that stuff has got to get put in this reconciliation bill that's coming up this summer. Put it in that reconciliation bill. Only takes 51 votes in the Senate to pass it into law. Actually codify all this stuff into law. That has to get done. That's another thing we're going to be on a jihad about this summer, probably. We are not going to allow our Washington, D.C. Republicans to screw this up. We are going to make them carry this football across the border. There is the bumper music. We are coming up to our next break. Y'all make sure to call. We got a little bit of time left at the top of the hour. 406-294-0970. See you back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats aren't in a good spot, but do you think they get it? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Democrats Democrats don't have the House, the Senate, the White House, or the Supreme Court, and they for dang sure have no discernible leader. But just like in all failing states, a power vacuum can give rise to something much worse. In the case of the Democratic Party, that much worse appears to be the progressive socialist duo of Bernie Sanders and AOC. While they're totally out of step with the majority of American voters, they can boast about their crowd sizes, no doubt. But I caution the Democrat Party from getting too excited about it. Kamala had giant crowds too, and you see how that worked out. What I really don't understand is the logic. If Democrats got spanked in 2024 for being too woke and too left, why on God's green earth would the party lift up the wokest and most radical pair of progressives in the party? Democrats who won in swing states last go around were moderates, not progressives. So Democrats, take a hint, or don't. I guess that's fine too. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay in the mid upper 60s across areas towards Bozeman, mid 70s for the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lower 40s for most areas, and then the outlook for Thursday calls for a mix of clouds and sun. Highs range from the upper 60s in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Tren de Aragua illegal alien gang members. That's out of Havre, Montana.
We reclaim windows and ensemble entry doors. Custom fit and exclusive to Renewal by Anderson. Free consultations, visit rbamontana.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Got just a few minutes before the top of the hour, and then Aaron Flint is going to be back with you guys. We're just trying to do a comm check with him from Great Falls, and hopefully this will go off without a hitch. We got that long bumper music here going. Wait, to give you guys a legal update, an update from the liberal, dirty, rotten hacks wearing robes around the country. We had two big wins yesterday in court, two big wins. One judge was trying to stop the DOGE agenda at USAID. That got stopped. His order got stopped. That was the first big victory. And then another judge presumed to tell President Trump that he was going to continue on with the refugee programs, order the President of the United States, who has plenary authority over immigration, order him to continue with certain refugee programs, and that got overturned. So good victories there. I haven't heard back yet this morning yet from what happened up there in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals as far as that guy Bozeman and him trying to turn the planes around from all these Venezuelan terrorist gangsters. I haven't heard how that ruling came out yet. Maybe they haven't decided yet. We may hear on that today. Who knows? We had another one of these guys. This is just laughable, guys. We had one of these hacks yesterday. President Trump issued an executive order the other day. He was going to stop the funding and operations of this radio system operated by the United States, or funded by the United States over in Europe, Radio Free Europe / Radio Liberty. Obviously, completely within the president's purview to do so. Well, a judge popped up and did one of his temporary restraining orders against that. Because, you know, as you know, federal judges, unelected federal judges, all 700 of them around the country, they're the ones that control the United States, not the president. And a lot of things being talked about right now about these national injunctions, and that's what's got to end. You talk to any federal judge in his jurisdiction. Ask him what power he has over, like a judge here in Montana. Ask him what power he has over Wyoming. He'll tell you none. Not even over a neighboring state. Ask him if he can sign off on a search warrant for a residence in Wyoming. He'll laugh at you. He'll say, no, of course not. That's not in my district. I can't do that. Ask a Billings, Montana judge if he can sign off on a search warrant for Missoula. He's going to tell you, no, of course not. I can't do that. That's not my district. That corresponds to that other judge. But somehow we have agreed somewhere at some time that these hacks can issue injunctions that go nationwide. And that's one thing that's got to get stopped in some kind of judicial reform through the Congress. Unfortunately, it's probably going to take the typical 60 votes in the Senate, which we're never going to get right now. But that needs to be an aspiration. We've got, honestly, we got on the phone lines, we got Roger in Lewistown. What you got there, Roger?
Well, I'm just curious. I've been hearing all these the cost stuff, you know, cutting, and I don't hear anything about cutting funding for the environmentalists. You know, and I don't know why they don't play by the same rules as everyone else. I mean, if I lose a lawsuit, I got to pay up, and they don't. So that's just one place where I think we could get into a lot more cost cutting and help everybody in the long run.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very much for the call, Roger. We are coming up to the break here. There's the music. We got just about 15 seconds, and we should be back here at the top of the hour with Aaron Flint live from Great Falls. It has been a great time here with all you guys this morning. This is John Jackson, and I'll see y'all on the other side.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.